So some people may well have already received the vaccine. Other people are no doubt in line for it. We're a young community, so we haven't got that many people over 80 who will have automatically received it, though I know we've got some frontline workers. But a question that's been under discussion over the course of the past couple of months or weeks is when one gets the vaccine, does one say a bracha? And somebody, a friend in Israel, contacted me about this about a month ago. He was Israel is very advanced in terms of their vaccination program, and he was about to get the vaccine. He said he'd read an article about the bracha. What did I think? And my initial reaction was, why would one say a bracha on getting the vaccine? And then I read the article and seen since then a number of other rabbonim have written on the subject as well. And so I want to share with you some of the thoughts around this this subject and my own thoughts on it. So the first question is, is there a bracha to be said when one gets vaccinated against against something? So we kind of touched on this a few weeks ago in the daily halacha share, where we were talking about the various brachot for different things, and I spoke about the bracha on medicines, and we spoke about medicines that are sweet tasting and medicines that are unpleasant tasting, etc., etc. And then I made reference to a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which the source is a Gemara in Masechet Brachot on Daf Samach Amud Aleph, and this is the first source that you have in front of you, where Ha'acha says, "Hanichnas lahakiz dam," a person who goes to engage in bloodletting. So in ancient times, and even in medieval times, people thought that bloodletting was a healthy way of looking after your health. That if you were feeling a bit slothful, a bit lethargic, then it was perhaps that your blood was too thick inside you and you needed to thin it out a bit. So you would go and you would let blood, you would take off a pint of blood or something like that, and that was supposed to make you feel better. I don't know what modern science has to say about it, except for the fact that, of course, nobody practices it in the medical or in the modern medical world any longer. So I suspect that it's not really regarded as being such an effective form of refuah. But in any event, in Talmudic times and in medieval times, it certainly was. And therefore, Rav Acha said, when a person goes to let blood, Omer, they should say the following tefillah. Yehi ratzon milfanech Hashem Elokai. May it be your will, Hashem my God. Shehei esek zeh li lirfuah. That this activity that I'm about to engage in should be medically good for me. Utra pa'ini. And you should heal me. Because you are a truthful and faithful medical practitioner, and your medicine is trustworthy. And it's not really normal for people to get better, but that's we try. Amar Abai said, "Lo leima inish hachi." In actual fact, don't say that it's not normal for people to get better, but we try. The Tani Dvei Rabbi Yishmael, because it was taught in the base medrash of Rabbi Yishmael. V'rapo yirapei. We've got a pasuk in last week's parsha, Parshat Mishpatim. V'rapo yirapei, that person shall be healed. Mikan she'nit na rashut l'rofei l'rapot. And therefore, the Torah, the Chazal learnt from this that the Torah gives rashut to doctors to heal people. And therefore, the latter bit of this statement should be taken out. But nevertheless, we say he rats on. We say a prayer before bloodletting that it should be medically effective. Then the Gemara says, Ki kai mai omer, when you get up from the procedure, what should you say? Amar Rav Acha, Baruch Rofei Chinam. We should say a prayer blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Rofei Chinam, as a as a free doctor, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu freely dispenses his refuah to the world. And what we see, so what we've seen from this Gemara is the notion that before you engage in a medical procedure, there's a tefillah that should be said, and after you've engaged in a medical procedure, there's a tefillah to be said. And I think this is far more than just a halachic issue, it's certainly a hashkafic issue as well, in terms of the notion that that we are able to get involved in medical practice, and that on the one hand, and on the other hand, recognizing that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately who grants a refuah to a person. We certainly shouldn't put all our trust in the doctors. We should put lots of trust in the doctors, but we should also at the same time recognize that it's ultimately the Almighty who decides who's going to recover, who's not going to recover. And we just know that from things that we've seen in the world and around us over the years. You know, we see people with apparently the same conditions and getting the same treatment, and some recover and thrive, and others unfortunately don't recover and don't thrive. So it's all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should be well aware of that before we engage in refuah and after we engage in refuah. And as we said in the Torah talk share a few weeks ago, that it's not only in case of hakazat dam, in the case of bloodletting, that we should say this tefillah. Anytime you undergo any sort of medical procedure or take medication, you should say such a Yehi Ratzon. And indeed, the Rambam says in Perek Yud of Hilchot Brachot, the Tanichnas Lahakiz Dam Omer, person who goes to let blood, should say, Yehirat Somu Fanech Hashem Enokai Sheyehei Esek Zeh Lirfuah Kiv Rofei Shelechinam Ata. So may it be your will that what I'm doing should be medically beneficial, for you are a freely dispensing doctor. And when you leave, you say Baruch Rofei Chaim. So interestingly, the Rambam had a slightly different text there of the bracha that you say afterwards. There it's Baruch Rofei Chaim, who blessed is Hashem, who heals the living, as opposed to the text that in our Gemaras, which was Baruch Rofei Chinam. Presumably the Rambam's Gemaras had a different text. And in actual fact, the Shulchan Aruch has a slightly different text. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, "Ulachar sheikiz yoma baruch rofei cholim." So you praise Hashem for healing the sick. So we certainly see that before one undergoes a medical procedure, one should say a Yehi Ratzon, asking for it to be effective. And that is definitely the case, I would say, with this vaccine, that when we all go to be vaccinated, when we're eventually called, then we should say that Yehi Ratzon before we receive the jab. And that, I think, is uncontentious, and really a form of giving praise and hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and supplication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're able to have this vaccine. As many people have pointed out, it's nothing short of miraculous that, within a year of coronavirus, people are already being vaccinated. Usually these things take decades to be sorted. And it's been a terrible magefa, which has affected the whole world on the one hand, but it's also miraculous that that we have a solution to it at the same time. Now, what about after one has received the vaccine? So the Gemara said, after you've undergone a medical procedure, you say either Baruch Rofei Chinam, Baruch Rofei Chayim, Baruch Rofei Cholim, any of these texts. Now, most of the cases in the Gemara, or really all the cases we assume in the Gemara, where it says in the ninth parak of Masechet Brachot, this is the text for a bracha, Baruch whatever, whatever. So it's the Gemara's just cut out the middle bit of the bracha, but it's a proper bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Rofei Cholim. That would be the text of the bracha. However, if you look in the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura says as follows: Baruch Rofei Cholim. V'tzarech Lomar B'Shem Malchut. As I just said, you need to say this bracha as a proper bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Rofei Cholim. So that's what the Beit Yosef and the Taz say. Afal lo ra'iti no'agin kein. But the Prima Gadim says, lo ra'iti no'agin kein. That doesn't seem to be the minhag. People don't seem to do it. And the fact that Mishnah Brura is bringing the Prima Gadim there would seem to indicate that that's how he holds. That in actual fact, that we don't say it with Shema Malchut. So there is discussion about this. Interestingly, I saw in Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon's tshuva on the subject, and also in Rabbi Professor Sperber's posting on the subject. They both quote Rav Kook in his commentary to the Siddur, that Rav Kook said, make a distinction between a minor procedure and a major procedure. If you're undergoing a major procedure, which in itself is risky, then you say Baruch Rofei Cholim with Shemu Malchut, using Hashem's name. If you're undergoing a minor procedure, then you don't say it with Shemu Malchut. So already we've got a question here, whether or not one would say over the vaccine, whether one would say Baruch Rofei Cholim with Shemu Malchut or not. And indeed, Tal has asked a question, which is somewhere in the chat, which I've lost the chat here, but here we are. So Tal has asked the question as follows: was bloodletting considered to be life-threatening if done incorrectly? I've no idea, but I would guess so. I mean, if you're taking a scalpel to somebody and supposed to be making a hole in a vein, I suppose if you hit an artery by mistake, then it's probably life-threatening. And surely with the vaccine, it's a preventative measure rather than curative, as the other procedures referenced. So I think that second point is very germane and very correct in terms of, you know, to say Baruch Rofei Cholim, the implication is that I was a chole and I'm doing something now which is stopping me being a chole. Whereas in actual fact, in the case of coronavirus, we're getting the vaccine, we're not cholim, we're not ill, we're at risk because there's a virus going around, but we're not actually ill, and therefore that would be another reason not to say Baruch Rofei Cholim, certainly not with Shema Malchut afterwards. Perhaps to say it without Shema Malchut, one could, and maybe it would be appropriate, because, you know, this is still a medical procedure. I don't know if we have to necessarily have to understand that, you know, Rofei Cholim or Rofei Chinam or Rofei Chayim, whichever term we want to use, whether it necessarily always has to mean healing somebody who is ill, or it could mean, you know, a rofei, a doctor, does preventative things for you as well. Perhaps we'd have to look through Tanakh and find every instance of the use of the word rofei, but it might be that it would apply in a preventative sense as well. But seeing as we're not actually ill, it does indeed seem that that one probably shouldn't say it with Shema Malchut. Also bearing in mind Rav Kook's comments to make this distinction between a major procedure and a minor procedure. The procedure itself is quite straightforward. Obviously the vaccine is a complex issue, but the procedure itself is straightforward. So that was one possibility about what to say over the vaccine, and I certainly think that before the vaccination, one should say the Yehi Ratzon. What other possibilities are there after the vaccine? So, people are talking about the question, do you say Brachav Shechianu, or do you say perhaps Brachav Hatov Vahametiv? So let's look at those two brachot and try and establish whether either of them are appropriate for this this context. Let's look at a Mishnah at the beginning of the ninth perek of Masechet Brachot. So the Mishnah says as follows, Al Hagshamim, if there's been a drought and the rain falls, Val Besorot Tovot, or you get good news, good tidings, Omer, one says, Baruch Hatov V'Hametiv. You say a bracha of praising Hashem, Baruch Hatov Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. As I said, all these brachot of the ninth parak of Masechet Brachot are essentially with Shem and Malchut. Hatov V'Hametiv, that Hashem is good, and he does good things to other people. Al B'sorot Ra'ot, and if it's bad news that you get, Omer Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. You say the bracha of Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. Bana Bayit Chadash, if a person built a new home, the kana kilim chadashim, or acquired new items, Omer, one says a bracha of Baruch Shechianu v'kimanu v'higianu lazman hazeh. Say the bracha of Shechianu. So we've got two questions that we have to address as far as this Mishnah is concerned. One question is, why in some instances is it the bracha of Hatov v'hametiv, and in other instances it's a bracha of Shechianu? What's, if you like, is the relationship between these two brachot? And our second question is, what exactly generates a chiyuv to say these brachot? So if we look at the sugya in Masechet Brachot, and also if we look through the Shulchan Aruch, we'll find that the difference, there's a very significant similarity between Shechianu and Hatov V'Hametiv. They're both said on good experiences. The difference between them is that Hatov V'Hametiv is usually said where the pleasure is shared, whereas Shechianu is said where it's an individual, personal sense of enjoyment. So the classic example is, you know, you've got a field beshutfut. You own a field together with somebody else. So it rains, so you'd say the brachav hatov v'hametiv, because it's not just you that's getting benefit from this rain, but it's the other owner of the field as well. If you own the field by yourself, then you say brachav shechianu. The classic question comes up, you know, if you buy a motorbike, then you say a brachav shechianu. If it's got a pillion seat on it, then maybe you would say a brachav hatov v'hametiv, because two of you can ride on the motorbike. Rav Moshe Feinstein has got a tshuva in Igrot Moshe, where he talks about buying a new car during the 3 weeks. And he makes an interesting distinction, which is the reverse of what you would necessarily have thought. He says that if you're buying it just for yourself, then you would say, then you can't buy it during the 3 weeks. If you're buying it as a family car, then you can buy it during the 3 weeks. Not during the 9 days, but during the 3 weeks. Why? What's the difference? Ah, if you're buying it yourself, then the bracha is a bracha of Shechianu. And we don't say Shechianu during the 3 weeks because we don't want to celebrate coming to this time of year. But if it's a family car, it's not just for yourself, then you say a bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv. Hatov V'Hametiv, you can say during the 3 weeks, not during the 9 days, you don't buy new things, but during the 3 weeks, you can. So the primary difference between Shechianu and Hatov V'Hametiv is that it's just how many people are sharing in that joy. So some people have suggested that that when receiving the vaccine, one should say Brachav Hatov V'Hametiv, because this is a shared benefit for the whole world. It's not just me getting the vaccine, but it's everybody getting the vaccine at the same time. I mean, obviously not at the same time. Though having said that, I think I saw on the news last week that something like 170 injections per minute are being given in this country. So as the needle goes into you, you know that you're not the only, there are 169 other people who are going ouch at precisely the same time as you. But it might be different because in terms of the examples given in the Gemara and even in the Mishnah and certainly in the Shulchan Aruch as well, where we talk about saying Hatov V'Hametiv, it's where multiple people are sharing exactly the same item. So it's, you know, I've got a field together with you and then it rains. So we're both sharing that field. Or if I buy a car and I'm going to be sharing it with my family, so we're all using that same car. I've got a vaccine and you've got a vaccine and we're all in different places. It's different measures of the vaccine that that we're all receiving. So it's not clear to me that that Hatov V'Hametiv is really the correct bracha to say. What about the bracha of Shehiyanu? So here's the big question. The Mishnah says that on Besorot Tovot you say a bracha of Hatov V'Hametiv. And that's because it's a shared pleasure. If it was a personal pleasure, you'd say a bracha of Shehiyanu. Now, do we say, the big question is, do we say a bracha of Shehiyanu every time we have a very positive experience? Positive experience is always a bad term to use when we're talking about COVID. We don't want it to be positive. But every time you have something good happening in your life, do you say a bracha of Shehiyanu? And it would seem the answer is it's not. If we look through the Shulchan Aruch, you know, it talks about the sort of things that we say a bracha of Shehiyanu on. You know, we say a bracha of Shehiyanu when we acquire new things. We say a bracha of Shehiyanu when we encounter a new fruit because we've got a sense of simcha there with it. We say a bracha of Shehiyanu when we encounter a person that we haven't seen for a long time. These are the occasions that we say Shehiyanu on. We say Shehiyanu when one gets a Yerusha. You inherit money. Interestingly, it's again a strange situation, but the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say that a person whose father dies and leaves him an inheritance says two brachot, says a bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmet over the death of his father, and then says a bracha of Shehiyanu over the inheritance that they've received. So, you know, because you've received something, you say a bracha of Shehiyanu. However, it would seem that looking through all these examples, there invariably has to be something tangible that one can point to having engaged with it or received it. So, for example, you know, you've got new items, you would say a bracha of Shehiyanu over them. There's a chefta there that I'm saying the bracha of Shehiyanu over. I see somebody that I haven't seen for a long time. That person is there. You know, it's almost as if I can, you know, I could pick him up or her up, you know, in theory. Well, I shouldn't pick her up. I'd get into trouble for that. But, you know, you could pick up that person. You know, you're saying the bracha of Shehiyanu on something tangible. Now, the vaccine itself, of course, is tangible, but really what the vaccine is doing is something, you know, intangible, and it's, you know, it's protecting you, but you've just got a sense here of, you know, this is a wonderful occasion for me that, you know, I'm receiving the vaccine and I'm now in a safer position than I was previously. But the big question is, you know, in my mind, as to whether or not that really counts as being something sufficient that you're sort of putting your finger on, as it were, and saying this is what I'm saying Shehiyanu on. In the sense that, you know, Shehiyanu certainly in large measure depends on Simchat HaLev, you know, how pleased you are about this this occurrence. So, you know, we say if you see a person, there's a person you haven't seen for a long time, but you're not particularly bothered one way or the other, then you wouldn't say a bracha shechianu on seeing them, because there's no real Simchat HaLev. There's a question about, you know, on new fruits, whether, you know, if you're not particularly bothered by the fact that it's now pear season or cherry season, so should you say a bracha of shechianu? So some poskim say that in actual fact you don't, because there's no Simchat HaLev. Others say no, you do say a bracha of shechianu, because it's also on the season. The fact is, it's now that time of year, so I can say a bracha of shechianu. But it's certainly an undefined area of halacha, and I have to say that, you know, if it's just on the Simchat HaLev, the fact that I feel excited about it, then I wouldn't say a bracha of shechianu. Rav Osher Weiss says, for example, and this is the passage at the bottom of the page, he makes the observation that you don't, you know, say a bracha of shechianu on every good experience that you have. He said, a person, you know, a parent is marrying off their children, you know, walking them to the chuppah. You know, wonderful occasion for the parents. You don't say a bracha of shechianu. What about, you know, a person gets their degree or their PhD or whatever it is, or gets a new job? These are, you know, great, exciting things. You know, do you say a bracha of shechianu? We've no model for saying shechianu on that. Our model of shechianu isn't just that you've, you know, it's a good experience and you feel happy. But there needs to be something tangible. And this is really the question with the vaccine. Can one say that the vaccine itself is something tangible? The vaccine is like a pri chadash or a kelim chadashim or something like that. And I'm not certain that that's the case. I'm not certain that one can say the bracha shechianu in that case. And generally speaking, well, it's a bit of machloka. On the one hand, we say that shechianu is a bracha of a rashut. Generally speaking, we say that shechianu, apart from, you know, on the chagim and on mitzvot, but, you know, for kelim chadashim and such things, it's a bracha of rashut, meaning you don't have to say it, but you can say it. We've got a model for saying it if you want to say it. Then there's a question about, you know, if there's a safek, a doubt about the bracha of shechianu, whether you say it. So some poskim say that, no, actual fact, where there's a doubt about the bracha of shechianu, even though generally speaking we say that you don't say a bracha of shechianu, you don't say a bracha where you've got a doubt about a bracha, nevertheless shechianu is different and you can say the bracha, whereas others disagree and say, no, the general rules of safek brachot lahakel, that where you've got a safek about a bracha, you don't say it. So those are things to factor in. The other observation that Rav Osher Weiss makes, which is very important, he says, and this isn't on the sheet in front of you, but he says, why don't we say a bracha of shechianu to Brit Milah? Now, in actual fact, in Eretz Israel they do. The minhag in Israel is to follow the view of the Rambam and to say shechianu to Brit Milah. But the minhag in Chutz La'aretz is not to rule like that, and we don't say a bracha on shechianu on Brit Milah. Why not? Because of what Chazal called Tzara D'Yanuka. It's a painful experience for the child. And because the child is experiencing pain, then you don't say a bracha of shechianu. And Rav Osher Weiss says that, you know, when you get the jab, when you get the vaccine, there's pain involved as well. You feel sore for a little bit, you know, the pain of the needle going into you. Some people do have a slight reaction, etc., etc. And therefore, that discounts the possibility of saying the bracha of shechianu. A further consideration that I've got is the question of a vaccine. Its benefits are quite intangible, meaning that you never know if you're going to get the virus. You're never going to know, you might get the virus and be asymptomatic. You might be one of those people, that small number of people who can still get the virus even though they've had the vaccine. It's different to something which is certain. You know, if I've got I buy a new couch or I buy a new computer. So I've got it. I know this is the couch that I'm going to sit on. I know this is the computer that I'm going to type on. Okay, so it's relevant to say the bracha of Shehiyanu. With a vaccine, it's not like wearing a raincoat, you know, for the rain, or a nice warm jumper in the cold. It's the vaccine, you know, will almost certainly help me if I get the virus, or if I'm in contact with a person who's got the virus, will almost certainly prevent me from getting it. And even if it doesn't prevent me from getting it, it will probably, you know, make the symptoms less. But I might never have got it in the first place, and I might never have had symptoms anyhow. And even if I've got it, I might be one of these people that it's not effective for. So it's really not clear to me that one should say a bracha of Shehiyanu. Rav Osher Weiss makes the suggestion that, as one should do in many cases of like this, is to find another reason to say Shehiyanu, and to say Shehiyanu on the other thing. So you buy something new and that would need a Shehiyanu, and then you say Shehiyanu on both things. I remember when many years ago when my parents went on Aliyah, so I wanted to I wondered about whether they should say the bracha of Shehiyanu when they arrived, in Israel. I looked into it a bit, and it's discussed. It's a great time in your life, you know, that you move to a new country, fulfilled your aspirations of Aliyah La'aretz, say the bracha of Shehiyanu. But it seems that you don't. So I bought them a new fruit. And they said, told them to say the bracha of Shehiyanu on the new fruit, and on the fact they've now come to live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what Rav Osher Weiss says to do. Some people would describe this as just being a cop-out, but I would say it's not a cop-out. You could flip it round and look at it the other way round, in the sense that, essentially, one doesn't say a bracha of Shehiyanu on this, but, you know, we want to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enabling us to receive the vaccine and now to be in a safer place in our lives. And therefore, it's not a cop-out to say Shehiyanu over something else. If you say, well, really, I should say Shehiyanu, but I'm frightened of saying Shehiyanu, so I'll say Shehiyanu over something else, that's a cop-out. But you can flip it around and look at it the other way around, say, well, actually, there's no good halachic grounds for saying Shehiyanu, but I really want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, and therefore, I'm going to say the bracha of Shehiyanu on something else. There is another possibility. The other possibility is that there's a bracha that one says when one sees an exceptional scholar. So if one sees an exceptional scholar who is Jewish, then one says, it seems that he's exceptional in terms of Torah knowledge. So then one says, bracha of Shechalak Mechochmato li Reav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared his wisdom with those who fear him. If one sees a person who is exceptionally wise in Chochmat HaOlam, you say the Brachav, Shenatan Mechochmato levasar vadam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave of his wisdom to humans. So, this is, I don't think we really say this bracha nowadays. I think it's probably rarely said. And it seems that you have to say it on people rather than on items. But I would certainly have thought that it's not inappropriate to say without Shemu Malchut. In terms of, we are beneficiaries of medical brilliance that the scientific world was able to discover and create these vaccines, and are we're indebted to the scientific world, but we're also obviously indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for enabling this. So I can't say Sheratan mechochmat olav asar v'adam over a vaccine, because that's not the what the bracha is. Or the bracha is supposed to be said when you see the person. But nevertheless, again, I've got this feeling that I want to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's enabled scientists to create this vaccine. So to summarize, certainly I would say that it's correct, more than correct. I think it's there's a halachic requirement to say the Yehi Ratzon before you get the vaccine. And then in terms of a bracha afterwards, I don't think it's correct to say either Hatov V'Hameitiv or Shehechiyanu for the reasons that I've said. I think one could say, if one wants to say it without Shemu Malchut, then maybe, but certainly not with Shemu Malchut. Again, I think it's not inappropriate to say Shenatam Mechochmato Levasar Vadam, again without Shemu Malchut, because you know you haven't got the wise person in front of you. But again, we want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for providing this vaccine. And the other consideration is that I don't think the vaccine is an end in itself. You know, the vaccine is in actual fact a facilitating factor so that our lives should be able to return to normal. Of course, there can be lots of other things, you know, that one would say a Shehechiyanu on, you know, at this time. So, you know, perhaps if you've got a close friend who you haven't been able to see for a long time because of coronavirus. So when the restrictions are lifted and you're genuinely happy, if you haven't seen them for over a month, certainly if you haven't been in contact with them for over a month, there's a Torah Talk share on this subject. About somebody, you know, you sit nearer to in shul, you haven't seen them for a long time, you could say the bracha of Shehechiyanu over them and have in mind, you know, the vaccine as well. But I think the ikkar is that we should be praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this makefa should come to an end, and giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's provided the scientific community with the ability to create this this vaccine. So that's what I wanted to share with you this evening.